In the shadow of Nazi Germany, a young Jewish girl named Hannelore Wolf made a decision that would forever alter her life. When her mother and younger brothers were ordered to report for deportation to the East, Hannelore did something unthinkable. She voluntarily joined them, despite having relatively safe work and lodging in Berlin. Her roommates were horrified. "Oh my God, what have you done?" they cried, sharing stories of families deliberately separated, of young people sent to labor camps, while the elderly and children disappeared entirely. But family loyalty outweighed personal safety for Hannelore. As she walked through Weimar's streets toward their temporary quarters, columns of skeletal prisoners from Buchenwald shuffled past, their hollow eyes offering a chilling glimpse of what awaited. This voluntary reunion, born of love, would lead Hannelore through the darkest chapters of human history and toward an unexpected love that would sustain her will to survive. May 8th arrived, Hannelore's mother's 43rd birthday, but there would be no celebration. With only knapsacks of essentials, they left Grandmother Henrietta waving tearfully. At Weimar's Stockpen, a deliberate humiliation, comparing Jews to animals, armed SA men separated families with commands and rifle butts. Officials confiscated valuables, her mother's gold wedding band, and Hannelore's cherished silver bracelet. The strip search left her feeling violated, treated like merchandise rather than human. An elderly man began reciting, "Hear, O Israel," when an SA man attacked him brutally until his prayers fell silent. By evening, they boarded a sealed train toward an unknown destination. Through condensation-streaked windows, they glimpsed Polish farmers staring with unreadable expressions. This journey marked their descent into the Nazi machinery of destruction, a system designed to strip away dignity before taking lives. The knock that took Hannelore's brother Wolfgang began her family's disintegration. Despite her mother's protests, a Judenrat policeman claimed he was only being taken for work. By morning, Hannelore learned the truth. Wolfgang had been sent to Majdanek concentration camp. When Eugen, a policeman, warned that the ghetto would soon be liquidated, he offered to hide family members in separate locations. Hannelore's mother asked the heartbreaking question, "Do I have a choice?" Their final night together was spent huddled close, reminiscing about Papa and Wolfgang while her mother read tear-stained psalms. At dawn, they separated. After hiding during the liquidation, Hannelore emerged to find the ghetto deserted except for scattered belongings. Her search for her mother and brother yielded nothing. The systematic destruction of families was a cornerstone of Nazi persecution, severing bonds that gave life meaning. Yet, these losses forged in her a fierce determination to survive and bear witness to her loved ones' fates. In the most unlikely of places, surrounded by death and cruelty, Hannelore found love. Dick Hillman, a Jewish-Polish prisoner of war with beautiful, sad eyes, became her reason to survive. Their relationship developed through secret meetings where he risked punishment to bring her coffee and bread. "One day, when this is over, I'll plant you a lilac bush," Dick promised, evoking memories of her father singing beneath this tree on her mother's birthday. This promise of a future beyond the camps became Hannelore's hope, especially after finding her brother Selly at Budzin, so emaciated she barely recognized him. Despite her pleas to Commandant Fikes, Selly was too ill to recover. On his final night, Hannelore stayed with him as he cried for water, only to find him dead by morning. In a world designed to strip away humanity, their love was an act of defiance, a reclaiming of their humanity when surrender might have seemed easier. The cattle car doors opened to reveal Hannelore's worst nightmare. Not Brunlitz, where Schindler's factory offered safety, but Auschwitz, the most notorious death camp. SS guards in heavy coats watched prisoners shiver in thin dresses, while, bizarrely, an orchestra played a lively waltz. Life in Auschwitz represented the nadir of human experience. Snowflakes became Hannelore's small blessing, relieving her thirst and slightly filling her stomach. Her damp dress and wooden clogs never dried. The horror intensified when she heard children crying for their mothers, followed by sickening fumes from the crematorium. During a selection, she was pointed left, a death sentence. While awaiting the gas chamber, watching what she believed would be her last sunset, she slipped into a passing work detail when guards weren't looking. Despite causing confusion at roll call, she escaped detection. Using a mirror shard, she glimpsed her reflection, a skeleton with wrinkled skin like an old woman's. Dreams became her only escape from the physical pain of hard wooden planks. Hannelore's survival testifies to both remarkable resilience and extraordinary luck. When SS men shouted, "Schindler women, up and out," in the night, calling names instead of numbers, it felt dreamlike. Eva and Hannelore were called. Outside, Hannelore saw a woman hanging from the electric fence, her arm raised as if in prayer, a stark reminder of her own suicidal thoughts. After a difficult journey from Auschwitz, they found Oskar Schindler waiting in his Tyrolean hat. Rather than the small, portly man Hannelore had imagined, he was dashing and charismatic, with a voice that inspired trust. Inside the camp, men called from a balcony to the women below. Suddenly, Hannelore heard, "Little one, I have been looking for you all over." Too stunned to believe it was real, she moved forward like a sleepwalker. After showering, she was summoned to the balcony where Dick stood on the opposite side of a mesh fence. Though unable to touch, they met nightly, placing their hands against the mesh. Schindler's factory in Brunlitz became a sanctuary where prisoners received better treatment and food than elsewhere in the Nazi system. His willingness to risk everything to save his workers stands as a powerful counterpoint to the indifference that enabled the Holocaust. As winter eased in 1945, Germany was clearly losing the war. On May 8th, coincidentally Hannelore's mother's birthday and exactly 3 years since their deportation from Weimar, Schindler announced Germany's surrender. 2 days later, a Jewish Russian officer liberated them, saying, "I am a Hebrew, like you, and so, my brethren, it is fitting that I give you your freedom." Hannelore and Dick married in October 1945 and arrived in New York in January 1947. Except for two of Dick's sisters, neither ever heard from their loved ones again. Though the family they lost could never be replaced, together they built a new life from the ashes of their past. The lilac tree Dick had promised became a symbol of their survival and renewal. Like the lilac, they found a way to bloom in the harshest conditions. Their story reminds us that even when humanity seems most broken, acts of courage, love, and kindness create hope in seemingly hopeless situations. In the face of systematic dehumanization, the most powerful resistance may be to remain human, to love, care, remember, and ultimately to plant new life where death once reigned.